Outside the house.
Yeah.
I said to my mum, I mean, that's energizing. machine to say, like, he looks at the roof off, you know. Don't ever talk about anything outside of the house, about what's going on inside the house, because essentially, you know, they're sitting next to you or behind you. So he came from that world of not on gear, you know.
I've read that he did time in prison.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he went to prison a couple of times. He wasn't a jailbird. I think he really liked life as well. He liked to drink. He loved his horse racing. He liked his nights out. But I think when the couple of little bits of prison he got, I think it just knocked him for six. I remember going to see him in Pentonville. I think I was probably 10 or 11 at the time. I must have had to miss a big match, so I was already at the end. And I remember looking, even at that age, I was like, you're not coping with this that well. I wouldn't say he was fresh, she didn't know, but I think he looked and thought that was enough.
I saw you do a routine once, but very, very funny, about watching TV and your dad getting up and going off to the pub. And you talked about the family being on the sofa and watching TV, and you said, this kind of direct quote, you said that my mum's very not on Valium. She doesn't know what day it is. Now, the way you said it was extremely funny, and it got a big laugh, but was that artistic license, or was that a memory?
That was probably a memory. I think, like so many women of that generation, tranquilizers were part of everyday life. You know, it wasn't uncommon for certain Eastern women to take half a Valium on a stressful day.
And your mother, in turn, once described you as a strange and sullen child.
Enough of a sullen. Yeah, I would love that. She did exaggerate a little bit. Well, I was a full child.
Yes, what were you making of your life at the time?
I can remember things just all seemed being quite confusing as a child. Everything just seemed fast and furious around me. I don't know if that's a common thing for a child. Because I was trying to make sense of the world. I'd see something horrendous on the news, and it would affect me the whole day. You know, I'd worry about it all day. Or I'd see someone in school get beaten up, and that would really affect me. You know, nothing seemed to go easy or settle easy with me. I was continually was that sort of child. It didn't make me unhappy, it just made me a bit different. And I think I certainly knew about surviving with an East End child, because you couldn't be too odd or too different. So you internalised it, and then you went out and you played football.
Let's have some music, Nicky Flanagan. We're on your mood.
Yeah, so this probably harks back to that sense of being in the East End, but never really content there. I can remember watching all the kitchen sink dramas over the space of one winter. I'd come home from the pub quite early. And suddenly it started to click. But I wasn't on my own. This constant anxiety or this feeling of wanting more and wanting different wasn't unusual. And I suppose hearing records like this made me realize I wasn't on my own.